Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Today we're stepping into the world of craftsmanship, not mass production, not fast fashion, but the precise, hands-on art of shoemaking and repair. I'm delighted to be joined by two skilled shoemakers and one experienced cobbler to talk about what it really takes to build and rebuild quality footwear in Ireland. So I have three guests here with me. Michael Walsh is the marketing director with Du Barry Ireland. Michael, you're very welcome. Michael Tutty is from the famed Tutty's Shoemakers down there in Naas in County Kildare, an 80-year-old business. You're very welcome, Michael. And Isaac Jackman also joins us. He's operating out there in Donnybrook and in
Charnamon Street.
And Charnamon Street. And he's the man who fixes the Gucci runners. He's also with us. So we might start with Michael Tutty here. Michael, it's a serious legacy, 80 years in business, making, repairing, building shoes. Tell us a little bit about your world, because it's not one that many of us would be familiar with.
No, it's not a common kind of career in Ireland these days. But look, we're really lucky. We have built a business over 80 years. I'm the third generation shoemaker of the family. So back in 1946, my grandparents would have landed in Naas, and they would have kind of set up the business. Initially, it would have been kind of heavily in the repair section, and then they would have built into kind of making their own footwear very quickly as my grandparents saw that kind of market developing. Okay. My uncle and my father then would have ran the business then for a long time, and then back in 2018, I'd come back in full time after kind of a sabbatical as an engineer for about 5 years, and that's where we kind of start to really kind of step into that niche of building footwear per client. So every pair we make is made for the precise measurements of our client's feet. And we kind of have different tranches in the business. So if it is that client that is after that really premium quality, really good quality, superior fit, superior materials, and a shoe that'll last them.
Okay. So typically, and I know no customer's typical, I'd come down to you, you'd measure me up, you'd decide a design, and I'd go away and you would hand make that machine, that shoe from A to Z.
That's it. So like we...
And 2 weeks later, you'd ring me up and say your shoe's ready.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit longer than 2 weeks, but yeah, like what we... Yeah, everything's tailored per the client. So, and we have different kind of tranches of that client. So if it is that lovely made to measure, really looking for that superior fit, then we might have the kind of tranche of clients that perhaps they aren't getting facilitated from the off-the-shelf footwear. They might have something slightly unusual from a fit.
All right.
Be a slightly wider foot, perhaps a bunion, hammer toe, kind of slightly stepping into that medical side of things. And then the final kind of tranche would be where they aren't they can't get footwear at all to fit them. And that's where we kind of come in and tailor something really bespoke for their needs, right, be it like from a medical side of things.
Let's bring in Isaac Jackman of Isaac Jackman Shoe Repairs, as said, in Charlemont and Donnybrook. Isaac, you figured out that shoes always needed to be repaired. And I know your dad was in the business. He had up to 22 shops. But you had to figure out a new way of working this business. Tell us a little bit about the business and how you did that.
Yeah, I suppose I had to figure out where the future was when I came into the business back in the late 80s. You know, it was a difficult business always, but figuring out where the future was as a young fella coming out of school or college or whatever at that stage, coming into the business, I saw opportunities, obviously, that the business was being a bit neglected, I suppose, in certain areas. And I suppose bespoking into the repair sector, you know, the high-end footwear, it wasn't really being channeled into it as such. So I saw an opportunity there to be a bit more bespoke rather than just your general footwear repairer.
And was that helped by the fact that, you know, people were now spending €600 on a pair of Gucci runners?
Absolutely, yeah.
So that...
Well, the reality would be you put them in the bin. You go into landfill at the time, you know what I mean? So I suppose I saw the opportunity whereby these shoes could be saved, you know, spending expensive shoes.
And I suppose there are two main components to shoes, leather and rubber.
in the basics, well, obviously there's many more different in these days, yeah, the synthetics or whatever. And again, the adapting to that and to make it viable to be able to repair them and you're being able to repair them, getting the shoe components to repair them. And that's where I saw the industry needed to focus on, you know.
Yeah, great. Mm. Stay with us. Michael Walsh is waiting patiently. He's the man from DuBarry's, as he's known. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme. Again, DuBarry, you know, a great brand and a famous Irish legacy in Ballinasloe, Athlone. Yep. But it's a business that's had to duck and weave a little bit over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, we were established in 1937. It was a family-run business, and a family came over from Northampton in the UK, shoemakers, and set the business up. And it was run as a family business for many, many years. And then the current management team came in the early 80s, and it was a massive transformation then of the business, because at that time, production in Ireland, generally of most items, including footwear, was on the wane. And we had to look to export markets to try and develop the business. So prior to that, the business had been 100% concentrated on the domestic Irish market with a small bit of export into the UK. And we were actually a contract manufacturer for a Danish shoe brand, the company called Jaco Marine, who made...
Is that right? I didn't know that.
They made deck shoes for the European sailing market. And they actually went into administration while we were manufacturing for them. And the settlement of the debt was we essentially took on the engineering and the know-how, and we almost by default found ourselves in the export market selling deck shoes, initially under Jaco Marine.
When was that?
Back in the late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then that transition then into manufacturing our own moccasins, and then hand-stitch moccasins became really part of our DNA, and we transitioned then from that Jaco brand to DuBarry. And we were very fortunate at the time. We found a very good distributor in the Netherlands who was very involved in the sailing market. And that catapulted us forward. We were selling predominantly two-eye tie deck shoes into the sailing market. And we came upon this idea of a boot, a sailing boot. And we were the first brand ever to get a license from Gore-Tex to produce a sailing boot.
Yeah.
And that really put us on the map because, you know, we were in a situation now where we could go to professional crews who were doing round-the-world sailing with a Gore-Tex lined waterproof breathable boot.
And I can tell you that my sailing boots lasted 20 years. So there you go. I repaired a couple of times, but I got 20 years out of a pair of DuBarry boots. One of the really interesting things about your brand, Michael, is that you took a decision almost to bypass the retailer to get yourself into other markets. So country pursuits, other outdoor sports. And, you know, rather than trying to drive that through retailers, you decided to exhibit at horse shows, yep, and country events.
Yes.
And that was your route. And I'm just interested about that philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and how it worked.
Again, it was probably one of those things that was born out of adversity because we had the sailing boot that I mentioned. We developed essentially the country version of the sailing boot. So it was exactly the same engineering, the same last, just had a different outsole on it. And we brought that into the world of hunting, shooting, fishing, the equestrian world. And we produced that boot. We brought it to trade shows in Dusseldorf, in Milan, in Birmingham. But we couldn't get the retailers to buy into it. They couldn't see what was in it. And eventually we just decided, look, we just bypassed the retailer. So we started our version of pop-up retail 25 years ago. In fact, the first event we ever did was 25 years ago. And we went to the events. There were three-day eventing, game fairs, dog shows, Cheltenham races, which we'll be at next week. And we went to the events ourselves, no noise between us and the consumer, us talking to the consumer. And that has been a really important part of our marketing ever since, because we still do those events and it's a great opportunity to get feedback and to test new products.
Absolutely. Michael, you say that every piece of footwear that you do is designed to be repaired.
Yeah.
You know, we hear a lot of talk about sustainability and people's commitment to it, but surely repairing something is the most sustainable thing you can do.
Yeah,
because you're not creating a new product.
Definitely. Like, Atuddy's, every pair we make from the initial design is designed to be repaired. So be it the sole, you can change the sole, change the heel, lining, sockets. So like that circular economy of extending the lifespan of a product is massive for yeah. And that's really where the kind of reducing the carbon footprint, because the carbon footprint of a product is in the manufacturing and the distribution of it. So from a distribution point of view, we're client B2C. So that is reduced down. So if we can extend the lifespan of our products,
absolutely,
it's going to really reduce. And like you buy well, you buy less. Okay, yeah. So you're going for a quality product that's going to last you so much longer, and you can get it repaired with ourselves or with like Jackman, a premium repairer around the country.
Yeah.
And we encourage the kind of to support that network of repairers throughout the country.
It also cleverly brings the customer back, you know, which I think you've got a commercial relationship with your customer that you can hit a couple of times on the journey.
Exactly. And it's face to face. Like, we've a commercial, we've reasonable personal relationship. We know the clients coming in, and we can kind of get to know their needs and what they require and everything. So it works well.
I've asked for texts. There's a load of them in here, so we'll have a look and see what we can do. So the first one is, I discovered my local cobbler Clegg's in Rathmines by accident. I had a pair of boots I loved, and after years of wear, the sole was very worn. I didn't want to give them up and went looking for a cobbler, and he added a few years to them. Since then, I always buy more expensive, well-made footwear that I like, and I've had them for years. It's worth paying for quality. And by the way, I walk a lot, so regular cheaper shoe is dead in 6 months. There's somebody there heralding the industry, so we'll take that. Another one says, Bobby, it seems impossible to get a good quality shoe on the high street. Mine all seem to wear badly within a year. Definitely going to look at handmade options now. So there's one for you, Michael Tutty. And here's one for you, Michael Walsh. To what extent are your shoes waterproof? Even using a Gore-Tex shoe leaks. You might dispute that. I understand glue used may be the reason.
No, I would say, so Gore-Tex is a membrane. And it's a membrane that fitted in between the lining and the leather. And the membrane is, Gore-Tex membrane is, the best way I could describe it is like the recreation of human skin. So it's, if you're in the shower, you're in hot water, the water doesn't come into your body, but when you perspire, it perspires out through the pores. And that's exactly what Gore-Tex does. It recreates human skin. Where people encounter problems with Gore-Tex leaking, inverted commas, is invariably, and in my own experience, golf shoes is a classic example of it. The climate that we live in. So you go out and you pay 400 quid for a pair of Gore-Tex lined golf shoes. You're walking through the wet grass. When that water comes over the edge of the shoe, the Gore-Tex is redundant at that stage because the water is now inside. So Gore-Tex works for us. It works in our boots. It works in clothing. But it needs, you know, once the water gets inside, you've broken the barrier.
Isaac, tell us about your... The kind of, I suppose no day is typical, but you do a lot of high-end repairs for people like Brown Thomas, and you're their go-to man. So typically, what sort of repairs are you doing on high-end shoes?
Well, it's maintenance on high-end shoes is obviously more regular because they're more delicate to work with. And so we would see them an awful lot more. But once the client gets used to what's involved with doing the repairs to their shoes, they trust you for doing all the complex sort of like, whether it's just a toe piece on a shoe, a heel top piece, it could be protecting the sole, making the shoe last longer, basically, turning it into a bit more of a durable shoe.
Yeah.
But yeah, our typical day is you know, we see every type of shoe from the very basic right up to the most complex shoe. And I suppose, you know, the day would entail online as well, people sending shoes from all over the country, which is fascinating to see people sending shoes from
so
all parts.
Somebody will send you a set of, we won't use a brand name, but high-end sneakers from West Cork in the post and say, can you fix these for me?
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. That's becoming more and more a part of our business. Yeah. The online, the people getting comfortable with sending you the shoes and returning them to them when completed. And it works very well.
Michael, are there some repairs that you just have to say, sorry, I can't repair this?
There's a line you cross. Unfortunately, but I suppose we're lucky in the sense that we have the whole. From making shoes from start to finish, we have a whole closing room. A closing room is a room from a pattern making to actually stitching. So it gives us a little bit of flexibility in that sense, where we can probably go a little bit a step further. But it comes back to shoe care, really, a lot of it. So it's like the analogy of your car. You have to service your car. You have to change the oil. Footwear, you have to treat the upper. The upper is the material that's wrapped around your foot, the leather. So a little bit of polish, a little bit of cream. We're not talking military style here.
People don't seem to polish shoes as much as they used to. Would that be fair to say?
In general,
like,
yes.
You remember before, if you stayed in a hotel, you could leave your shoes outside the door and the night porter or somebody would polish them.
Yeah.
You never see that kind of stuff happening now.
Not to the same extent. There is a subculture of really high-end polishing going on, but that's pretty niche. But like, and that's kind of something where people are saying perhaps about the Gore-Tex, or it's the care of the material. So if you polish, you kind of nourish that leather, it's going to last you multiple times longer. So it is really just a little bit of care and getting the repairs in on time. You don't let them run down too far, and it's that's really kind of just staying on top of it.
Yeah, we get exactly the same thing with our boots, with our sailing boots. So they're subjected to salt water, but if you don't wash them down with fresh water, that salt water is going to corrode the leather. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we say to people, it's like human skin. You've got to moisturize your skin. If you don't moisturize your skin, it cracks. It gets hard. And, you know, so what you can't repair ultimately is when the upper splits, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. And the sailing boot, I can testify, it takes a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
And it's out in all sorts of conditions.
Yeah.
How do you work sort of new product development, Michael? Is it about more of what you do in different markets? Or are you looking at new lines?
It's a bit of both, a combination of both. It's kind of new products for new markets and new products for existing markets. I mean, one of the things we were discussing earlier on outside with the guys was the current trend on trainers has been very strong. And we've just launched a range of waterproof, breathable trainers. So we've got two versions. One is dedicated for sailing and the other is for outdoor use. One is following a trend in the marketplace. You can't ignore those trends. They're a reality. The other area for us is, for example, extension of new products. So we've just launched a range of new pet accessories. So a lot of people who wear our country boots walk dogs. So we've got leads, we've got dog bowls, we've got beds.
Wow.
So it's just extending, you know, watching your customer, what they're using, what they're wearing, their lifestyles, and matching products accordingly.
All right. Well, look, it's a wonderful business and I'm delighted all three of you came in to tell us your stories here this morning. It is the business of shoemaking, cobbling, whatever you want to call it. But these are hardworking people doing great work on the nation's footwear. And I want to thank my three guests, Michael Walsh, Michael Tutty, and Isaac Jackman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.